This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 1, where we left off last time. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to give a shout out of love to Michael Lark in Chile. We love you, and you are listening to us, and we love you. And also, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for America's Day of Repentance. We are praying and believing 2 Chronicles 7:14. I also want to say, President Donald John Trump, we love you here, and we invite you to come because my twin friend Scott Merson owns the produce place. He's got a place in the parking lot for your helicopter. So let's everybody get together on Wednesday at 6 p.m. and let's pray America great again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I am in Suntree, Florida. I am right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I am right there at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart to your heart, here's what he gave me. Jesus is your Sabbath. Jesus is your Sabbath.
Verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and the disciples went hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and did eat.
Now notice he said Sabbath. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou work, but on the seventh day thou shalt not work. It is a day of rest." Now, in Genesis chapter 1, our great, magnificent God did his 6 days of creation, and on the seventh day he rested. Of course, we know that the seventh day is Saturday, and the Bible times the Sabbath was on a Saturday. But seven has more meaning to that. It's perfect. Everything was perfect. Now, in 4 B.C., the 4th century, put it this way, 4th century, not 4 B.C., 4th century, there was a Roman emperor called Constantine, and he became converted to Christianity. So to honor the Lord Jesus, he decided that the Sabbath should be on Sunday, the day of the sun, except he spelled it S-O-N. So you see, I think maybe his thinking was that Sunday's the first day of the week, and we have to seek God first, put his kingdom first, and Jesus is the first fruits, so that might have been his thinking. So, what do we have here? Are we supposed to have the Sabbath when we go to church and worship God and stop from our labor on Saturday or Sunday? Well, the Bible will tell us. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14, verses 15, verses 16. 14 is talking about Jesus. It says, the handwriting of ordinances he took out of the way and nailed them to the cross. Now, there's a difference between the law, because that's the word of God. It never changes. It's always the same. And there's a difference between ordinances. Before Jesus died on the cross, we had blood ordinances. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. God had everyone, every time they sinned, to kill a clean animal and sacrifice that, and that would forgive their sins. But Jesus went to the cross, nailed that to the cross, And Jesus became that animal sacrifice. He's our Passover lamb who takes away the sins of the world. So he nailed it to the cross. We don't have to do that anymore. He became the blood sacrifice. Okay. Now in Colossians 2, verse 14, verse 15, it says, he made a show of powers and principalities and got the victory over them. When Jesus went to the cross, he defeated death, whose name is the devil. Hebrews 2:14. And he had power over all the power of the enemy. So he nailed death to the cross. Jesus became death on the cross that you and I might have everlasting life. So far, he's taken the ordinances. He became that. We don't have to do that anymore. And then he became death. We don't have to die because if we believe in him, we have everlasting life. Amen. Colossians 2, verse 16. All right. He says, don't let any man judge you or criticize you about holy days or the Sabbath.
Amen.
Jesus became our Sabbath. Yes. He nailed the Sabbath to the cross. Jesus is the Sabbath. Sabbath means rest. So now every day becomes a Sabbath. Every day you rest in him, even while you're working. So, does this mean that we're not supposed to have one day a week when we go to church? No. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Does it matter whether it's Saturday or Sunday? Not really. I observe both of them. Long ago in my school, every Saturday I would fast and pray and study the word for Sunday. So I take two. I got it all covered. But you are supposed to have one day that you stop from all of that and go and hear the word of the Lord. Those of you who don't go to church, you do not know what you're missing. There is an anointing in corporate worship that you don't have by yourself. You need the fellowship of other Christians. And beside, God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But what he means here is you don't have to gag at a gnat and strain at a camel. In other words, go to church when you're supposed to go to church. You can go on the seventh or the Sunday or go on both. In other words, but make every day your Sabbath, rest in him. Yes. Now, Wednesday night, my faithful friend Laura Stevens came up to me and she said, Sherry, this is so great. It's so powerful on Wednesday. When I wake up on Thursday, I think it's Monday. It was just like Sunday. The anointing's here. The word is here. The Holy Spirit fell. Oh, wow. I said, Laura, that's because Jesus made every day our Sabbath. Isn't that beautiful to know? Now, there was a time in America when, because America was in a better state with God, all businesses, everything closed on Sunday. It was a better time. I wish we still did that. Because even the lost people said, oh, that's right. There's a God in America. That's why we do that. But remember, for you, you need to make every day your Sabbath. For those of you who have to work on Sundays, I believe that if you're a good employee, if you will go to your employer and explain to them that your faith wants you to go every Wednesday and every Sunday to church, I believe they would let you do that. Every day becomes your Sabbath. Jesus is your Sabbath. You see, you rest in him every day, despite the hard work.
Amen.
Verse 2. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.
Now, these Pharisees are the phony religious leaders. What they had done, they had added so much to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy as a day of rest. They had added silly things like, okay, you can walk 1 yard from your front door, but you can't walk back. You've got to stay the rest of the day. They had silly, silly, silly things. They were trying to control.
Verse 3. And he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was in hunger?
Jesus is now quoting to them 1 Samuel 21. Now, they're the religious leaders. They ought to know this scripture, but they don't. 1 Samuel 21.
And they that were with him. Verse 4. How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest.
Okay. When David was running from Saul, he had some valiant men who were called and chosen of David, and they got hungry. So he went into the temple there, and he asked the high priest Ahimelech, this is 1 Samuel 21, we're on business for the king. We had to leave so quickly, we didn't have time to get any bread. Do you have any bread for us to eat? Ahimelech, the high priest, said, all I've got is a shewbread, it's the holy bread, and only the priest can eat that. But he gave David the holy bread and his men. Why? Acts 2 said David is a priest, and those who are chosen, called of God, are priests. You are a priest and a king, Revelation 1. So it's okay to eat on the Sabbath.
5. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day, the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?
Don't you know that on the Sabbath day, the day of the worship, the priest or the pastor or whatever you want to call that leader, they work harder than anybody else and they are not to blame. In other words, it's all right to do the Lord's work on the Sabbath. Every Sunday I get up at 5 a.m. and I don't stop until 10 p.m. Now, I am not guilty. I'm doing the Lord's work. Same thing for you.
But I say unto you, that in this place there is one greater than the temple.
Jesus says, I am the temple myself. Revelation tells us that in the future heaven on earth, we don't need a temple because Jesus is our temple. So he's saying, you don't understand, the temple, Jesus the Messiah, is right here. Of course, they didn't know. They don't know the word.
7. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless.
He quotes Hosea chapter 6:6. The phony priest should know this. It says, God says, I thank you that you bring your sacrifice. You're supposed to, but what I really want is your mercy. I want your love. So Jesus says, if you knew that what God wants from all of us is love, then you would have not condemned us. You would have loved us and know that we deserve to eat on the Sabbath. Love one another.
8. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day.
Jesus is your Sabbath every day. Rest in him every day. Sabbath means rest.
Verse 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue.
You notice he kind of left off from being there. When you realize that you're casting your pearls before swine and you are hearing lies, get out of Dodge.
10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? That they might accuse him.
Now, these phony priests wanted to get rid of Jesus because the Bible says the sheep will only hear the good shepherd's voice. So the true sheep were following Jesus and they were leaving the synagogues there. And you know, those phony priests were losing money because they were doing it for the money. So they wanted to get rid of him. So they said, okay, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?
11. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, would you not lay hold on it and lift it out?
Of course you would. All of those people owned sheep, and sheep was their money. So if the sheep fell in a ditch, of course they would go get it out. That wouldn't be wrong.
12. How much then is a man better than a sheep?
The Lord is our shepherd, and we're the sheep of his pasture. In other words, it's all right to help people on the Sabbath.
Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day.
That's what I said.
13. Then said he to the man, stretch forth thine hand.
Now notice what he did. Proverbs 8 says wisdom was with God from the beginning. Jesus is using wisdom. Of course, it would be all right for him to touch him. But see, if Jesus had stretched forth his hand and touched the man with the withered hand, they would say, oh, you're working, you're doing something. Now, he doesn't even touch him. What wisdom?
And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other.
It took a lot of faith for that man with the withered hand to stretch forth his hand. You see, faith is an act. When someone prays for you to be healed, or prays for you for anything, or you pray for yourself, act like the prayer is answered. That activates so that it moves more quickly. Faith is an act. So he was healed.
Amen.
See, a lot of you say, pray for me, and then you say, I'm just going to wait and see. No, no, no. Act like you're healed.
14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him.
As my friend said, those Christians are all right, but those church folks will kill you.
15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence.
He gets out of there too. When you are hearing lies, you're accountable where you go to church. You're accountable what you're hearing. If you know there's more and you're not getting it, you're accountable for that.
And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all.
Jesus is the healer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed.
Amen. 16. And charged them that they should not make him known.
What he was doing, he was keeping a low profile. He still had a few years of his earthly ministry. And if he got too famous, the Pharisees would kill him before his time.
17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet.
Isaiah chapter 42 prophesied of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 42.
18. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased.
This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased.
I will put my spirit upon him.
Isaiah 61, the spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. That's what Jesus said.
And he shall show judgment to the Gentiles.
In other words, the salvation started with the house of Israel, but he's going to open the door to whosoever will may come.
19. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets.
What happened? Jesus did not advertise. See, you don't have to. The Bible says your gift makes room for you. The gift of the anointing is charismatic. People are drawn to charisma, to charismatic. In Hollywood, they call it. They say this actor or actress has it, and you're drawn to them. President Donald John Trump has charisma. That's why thousands go to him. Notice the other one, nobody goes there. Have you noticed that? But you see, the Holy Spirit anointing will draw the people to you. I never advertise and beg people to come. God draws the people. He causes them to know where I am, and the people who are supposed to come, come, and eventually he will draw all men to himself through the anointing. The anointing draws people. It's charismatic.
20. A bruised reed shall he not break.
Now this was prophesied. Now God calls you a tree of righteousness, but you feel like you're a broken reed sometime, do you not? Now a bruised reed, boy, if you just walk by that thing and blow on it, that little thing will fall off and it'll be the end of that reed. Now, you are trees, you're broken reeds. Lives are broken, hearts are broken, dreams are broken. But you see, Jesus says, I am meek and lowly in heart. I am gentle. You see, he's the potter. I wear the bruised reed, wear the clay. And he doesn't come to break us and crush us out there. He comes to make us whole again. Colossians 1, to make us complete. He puts us back together again. He glues our broken places. He makes your life complete, your dreams complete, your hopes complete. Jesus makes you whole. He does not break you. He's gentle.
And smoking flax shall he not quench.
The flax is like a wick. Okay, In early America, we did not have electricity, so people had beautiful kerosene lamps in their homes, and they had a beautiful globe up there, and they had a little wick, and it was dipped beneath there in some kerosene, and it would give light to the whole house. But after a while, it would smoke, and the globe, the little lamp thing there, would get so dull you couldn't see it. So Mama or Daddy had to go and trim the wick, the flax, okay? If you trimmed it too much, it would be gone. It wouldn't even work. That'd be the end of it. So they had to trim it very, very gently. And then the light would come back on. So you see, the Lord is trimming your wick. Do not get upset about that. Some of those tests you're going through, He's trimming your wick. But He's not going to tear up the wick. He knows how much you can take, and He'll stop when He feels you're thoroughly trimmed. So be glad that the Lord trims your wick, and then you'll be a light in the world.
Amen.
Amen. Until He send forth judgment unto victory.
And then you will have victory through Jesus Christ your Lord. The trimming your wick is very necessary. In other words, you can't stay a baby anymore. You've got to have some faith muscles.
Amen.
21. And in His name shall the Gentiles trust.
Okay, now this is prophesied in Luke chapter 2. It says that the Gentiles, those who are not the seed of Abraham, are also going to accept Jesus. And of course, they have.
22. Then was brought unto Him one that was possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And He healed him, insomuch the blind and dumb spake and saw.
Okay, now in this case, the person was blind and dumb because a devil had possessed them and so was inside of them. Now in John chapter 9, there was a man born blind from birth. The disciples asked Jesus, did this man sin? Did his parents sin because he's blind? Jesus said, no. This was for the glory of God, that the word should be declared. In 1820, a baby was born named Fanny Crosby. She lived until 1915. She had perfect vision, but at 6 weeks old, an eye infection caused her to become blind. She was sent to an institution for the blind, and Fanny Crosby loved the Lord, gave her life to Him, and wrote about 9,000 hymns. I just played all three of them. Rescue the perishing. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Now, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. A blind person has to use faith every second, even to brush your teeth, every time you brush your teeth. Because every time you brush your teeth, you've got to say, Lord, where is a toothbrush? Oh, there it is. Lord, where's the toothpaste? Oh, there it is. Then you've got to have more faith. Lord, help me to get the paste on the toothbrush. Oh, I got it on my shoulder. And so then your blind person says, oh, I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to wash my hair. Oh my God, I put body wash in my hair and I put shampoo on my body. Every minute of a blind person is by faith. But you see, if Fanny Crosby had not been blind, we would not have these songs that we're singing, and we will sing them all eternity. Yeah. She could have married and had babies. We'd have never heard of her. So you see, it looked like it's a burden, but it was a blessing in disguise, because blind people walk by faith,
Amen.
Not by sight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
23. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David?
That is so good, because see, it was prophesied that Jesus would come through the genealogy of David. So that means they are saying, wait, this is the promised Messiah.
24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils.
So they said, okay, you're casting them out, but the devil's doing that. Beelzebub is called the Lord of Flies and the Lord of the Dunghill. take off the F and you got the Lord of Lies. John 8:44-44, Jesus said the devil is the father of lies. If you ever notice, flies land on a dunghill. Now, some of you will get that. Okay. All right. Beelzebub. So they say, okay, he's casting these out by the devil.
25. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom that is divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house that's divided against itself shall not stand.
United we stand, divided we fall. The United States of America is divided, and now we are falling. But it's not just for nations. It's a family, a friendship, a church. We want to make sure we stay united. Body of Christ in America, Paul says, have no schisms. That means have no divisions. That means have no denominations. Why are we calling ourselves all of these different things? We have one Lord. We have one baptism. We have one Word of God. And so, united we stand. Body of Christ in America, let's get together now and let's pray America free again. United we stand.
Amen.
26. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?
Even Satan, says Jesus, has more sense than to cast out his own people. I mean, duh.
27. But if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils,
as you say,
by whom do your children cast them out?
Your children means your disciples. So Jesus says to the phony priest, you've got disciples. I notice they don't cast out any devils. So you say you're of God. I think you don't understand here. You don't cast out any devils because you don't know God.
Therefore, they shall be your judges.
In other words, even they know that Jesus is casting out the devils by the power of God.
28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God,
not by power, not by might, but by thy Spirit, saith the Lord. Jesus says you receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You can cast out devils and demons and raise the dead and heal the sick. It is not you.
Amen.
It is the power of God.
Right.
And it is Jesus' Spirit.
Amen.
Then the kingdom of God is come unto you.
A kingdom is a king. So Jesus says the King of Kings is standing right before you. You phony church leaders.
29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods?
Okay, the strong man is a devil, that old Beelzebub, Satan. And how can someone go where Satan is and cast out his demons? Well, the reason is because Jesus defeated death, whose name is the devil. Hebrews 2:14. But you see, the same thing for you. Again, Luke 10:19, Jesus says that after the Spirit of God is upon you, after you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you have power over all the power of the enemy, and you can cast out serpents and devils and demons and devils. In other words, how can you do that? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Except first he will bind the strong man and...
Jesus bound the strong man because he defeated death on the cross. He nailed him to the cross.
And then spoil his house.
And then cast him out. See? And Jesus said the same things he does, you can do.
30. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad.
Whose side are you on? Is everybody on the Lord's side?
31. Therefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men.
Jesus is now saying there is a sin that is unforgivable. It's called blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
32. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him.
Maybe you weren't saved and you didn't like Jesus, but if you repent, he'll forgive you for that if you're criticizing Jesus, if you repent.
But whosoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come.
The blasphemy against the Holy Spirit has not yet been committed. Jesus speaks of this in Luke 12, Mark 13, and Matthew 24. Jesus says that when the Antichrist appears, that'll be the devil calling himself Jesus, he's about to appear, those who are not going to be deceived by him, God's elect, are going to be delivered up to the Antichrist, and he's going to try to convince us that he's Jesus. Jesus says in Luke 12, Mark 13, Matthew 24, when you're delivered up to the Antichrist, God's elect, who are not deceived by him, let the Holy Spirit speak through you what he will. He will speak in every language and dialect, and the whole world will hear the gospel. But Jesus says, if you, an elect, even though you're called and chosen of God, if you refuse to let the Holy Spirit speak through you, it will never be forgiven you. You lose your salvation. I do not believe any elect's going to do this. We are the generation, because in Revelation chapter 9, the king of the bottomless pit is Antichrist. And God has already told the devil, don't touch anyone who has the seal of God in their forehead, the word of God. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will give courage to an elect. But if an elect does not let the Holy Spirit speak through us when we deliver up, that will not be forgiven. I pray you are blessed. We'll begin right there, next slide. At this time, let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, who has a parking place preserved for President Donald Trump, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry, doing very well.
Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Galatians 1, 3 through 5.
Fantastic. Great, Scott. That is so good. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick, but let's get everybody saved. Pray this prayer with me if you're not saved and mean it, and God will save you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use
to win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth
that Jesus is Lord.
That Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you in cyberspace, if you got saved, then call me and leave that message on my voicemail, and confession is made to salvation. And now I'm going to pray for the sick. I feel led today to pray for those who have a problem with your weight. In other words, you get a little bit too chubby there. All right. And you want that under control. Of course, that would be healthy. All right. Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, I ask, according to Malachi 4, that for those who fear your name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in your wings. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you will touch everyone who's having a little bit of a weight problem or a lot of weight problem. I ask that you will balance their weight, that each one be the right weight for their body frame, not too much and not too little, just right. We ask for any kind of thing like diabetes or insulin problem there to loose that fat and let it go in Jesus' name. We call forth that perfect healthy body for each one of those, slim and trim and healthy, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We all say, I agree in Jesus' name. Now, when I led Tone to the temple, I wrote you another poem. So place your hand on your little tummy, where it's a little puffy there, okay? On your tummy, because everybody has a little tummy trouble, okay? Out, out, belly fat. Say that.
Out, out, belly fat.
My stomach is healthy, firm, and flat.
My stomach is healthy, firm, and flat.
Let's do it again. Out, belly fat. My stomach is healthy, firm, and flat. Death and life in the power of the tongue. Now, nothing is given you to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your best friend, well, your second best friend. Your best friend is Jesus. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock, saying, I love you, and I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
Again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. takes communion, and in your holy church, I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection. That we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection. That we will rise again.
Your glory. Hallelujah, Lord. Yeah, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's make our love loud in this place. Jesus, we are coming to your courts, to your presence with thanksgiving, God. We love you. Here when we sing, hear our songs to you. When we dance, move around a little bit in this place. Feel us move, yeah, you. When we laugh, laugh out loud if you got the joy of the Lord. Feel our smiles with you. When we lift our voices loudest to you. Can you hear us? Can you feel? We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. Yeah, we do. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. When we sing, help me out. When we sing out, hear our song to you. When we dance round. Feel us move to you. When we laugh it out, feel our smiles with you. When we lift our voices loudest to you, can you hear us? Can you feel? We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. Jump, jump. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. Yes, we do, Lord. Yes, we do. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. Yeah, 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 is loud, fill this place with this love now. Our love is big, our love is loud. Fill this place, sing it out now. Sing, our love is big, our love is loud. Fill this place with this, fill it, Lord. Our love is big, our love is loud. Sing it again, fill this place. Our love is, oh, our love is big. Our love is loud. Fill this place with this love now. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. Yeah. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. Yes, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you, we love you, 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 yeah. We lift our voices, we lift our voices, louder still, our God is near, our God is here. Lift our voice, loudest you. Our God is here, our God is here. We lift our voice, loudest you. Our God is here, our God is here. Lift our voice, loudest you. Yeah. Hallelujah! You are here, God. We recognize your holy presence. We cry holy. We lift, we lift, we lift. Sing out. We lift our voices loudest to you. God is near. God is here. We lift our voices loudest to you. God is near. God is here. We lift our voices loudest to you. God is here. God is here. We lift our voices. God is in this place. Yeah. And you brought him here when you came and when you showed up with a praise. Hallelujah, Lord.
Calling Christians to worship and the study of God's word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
In this obsession with the things this world says make us happy, can't see the slaves we are in all the searching, all the grasping. Like we deserve much more than all these blessings we're holding. So now I'm running free into an ocean of mercy, unending. So come and empty me so that it's you I'm free. I want my life to be only Christ in me. So I will fix my eyes, 'cause you're my source of life. I need the world to see that it's Christ in me. That is Christ in me. Done with what holds me down, the things I once was chasing after. Throw off these heavy chains that I have let become my master. With the things this world says make us happy, yeah. Can't see the slaves we are in all this searching, all the grasping, yeah. So come and empty me so that it's you I breathe. I want my life to be only Christ.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
It's easy when you've gone from nothing to something to forget how you got there.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's lasting importance in recognizing who it is that lifts and sustains you.
Don't forget that God is your source.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. There are times when the path ahead of us may look impassable. But Dr. Evans says we need to remember how God has established a record of helping his children successfully navigate treacherous ways. Let's join him as he elaborates.
Israel had been in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years for them to learn faith. 40 years for their habits to be corrected. 40 years for them to be humbled. 40 years for them to be trained. And now it was time to cross over at the end of the 40th year. And what a miracle crossover it was. I mean, it was something to behold. Because we're told when they crossed over the Jordan, they crossed over the Jordan in flood season. Now, if there's any time you don't want to cross the Jordan, it's in flood season. That's the most dangerous time. That's the time when you're most likely to run into a problem or to drown. It was the time when the human capacity would be at its lowest. But I just want you to know God does some of his best work in flood season. When the waters are too high, the problems are too great, the needs are too daunting. In other words, where it's beyond you. Where God makes it hard in order for you to see there's only one God and you and I, we are not he. And so it was in flood season that God would perform this miracle. It was no different than when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. They got Pharaoh coming on one end. They got the Red Sea on the other end. They're in a catch-22. They're in a conundrum. They can go neither way and find a solution that unless God shows up and does something.